Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Hey, you know what the trouble is with the world we live in?
Yeah.
There's no danger. There's no opportunity for three independent hombres like ourselves to stare death in the face and conquer it on our own terms.
What about skydiving?
I think there'd be some thrilling, dangerous endeavor we could try, you know?
Why don't you try skydiving?
Yeah, everything's just too darn safe in this world.
I'd teach skydiving. I'd take you up any time.
Hey, I got an idea. What about skydiving? You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheers Cast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me once again is voice actor and friend of the podcast, Gene Hendricks. Welcome back, Gene.
Thank you very much, Ryan. And you know what I really love about doing these Cheers episodes with you?
What is that?
The stories are simple, straightforward, and easy to remember.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
not a lot
this
of room
a
for embellishment.
Example. You just gotta make sure you stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a lie. It's definitely the simpler the story. speaking of that, we are talking about Season 7, Episode 8, Jumping Jerks. This one written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, December 22nd, 1988. Yep, this is the last episode for the year of 1988. After watching The Magnificent Seven, Norm, Cliff, and Woody are in the mood to do something dangerous and exciting. A Cheers patron suggests they try skydiving, but Carla says they are far too cowardly for that. With their manhood called into doubt, the trio agrees to try skydiving the next day. Once they're up in the plane, though, they're too afraid to jump out of it. They return to Cheers and tell everyone they did jump. Even Woody maintains the lie, despite pressure from Carla and his own conscience. Sam is envious of the trio and asks if they'll take him skydiving. The guys agree in order to perpetuate their story and hoping the next time they'll have the guts to jump. They don't, though, and neither does Sam when he gets up in the plane. Rebecca is so impressed with their story back at the bar that she asks them to jump out again, holding a sign to promote the bar, and sweetens her request by convincing Sam that she thinks skydiving is a turn-on. Once in the plane, for the third time now, the guys seem no more likely to jump, except for Woody, whose guilt has racked him so much that it overcomes his fear of death, and he makes the jump. Impressed by his daring, Sam, Norm, and eventually Cliff jump out of the plane and manage to advertise the bar. Back at Cheers, Sam asks if Rebecca is still turned on by skydiving, and she admits that she is, and then proceeds to go on a date with their skydiving instructor instead of Sam. All right, Gene, what did you think about this episode?
I like this episode. I don't remember seeing it first run. And it was one of these things where the rule of three plays in.
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, it does, yeah.
They got me, though. I mean, when the second time they go up, when Sam's with them, and he tells that story about, you know, the coach hadn't been using them because he was drinking, and so he got off the bottle, and they chickened out. I really thought he was going to go until he said, one, two, okay, here's our story. that was really well done.
I think I do remember this when it originally aired, just because this situation was so extreme for a Cheers episode, to actually get them out of the bar, up in, obviously it's a set, but the set of this, you know, this small double-engine aircraft. And I just remember, like, the fact that they kept chickening out until the very end. So I remember the situation, and I think as I've said in the previous episodes, like, this was the season where I really started remembering watching this with my family on those Thursday nights. And, like, I was keyed in, and this was now my favorite show, pretty much.
A lot of this is precipitated on when they go in, Woody, Norm, and Cliff, we're just watching The Magnificent Seven again, yeah. And they're all pumped up, and then Bob is in the back there, you know, hey, what about skydiving? Yeah. Have you ever tried skydiving? I hear skydiving's wonderful. And they don't want to do it, really, until he mentions something about them being cowards.
Mm-hmm.
and or was it Carla that mentioned that? I can't remember.
They sort of double team him. Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Norm is Marty McFly from Back to the Future 2. Who are you calling chicken? When has he ever reacted like that?
Good point. They've never really bowed to the peer pressure of, you know, calling into question his manhood, because Norm, of all of them, is the most self-aware of who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good question.
It just struck me as odd. I mean, it's a way to get the plot rolling. Yes, that was kind of like the one time Diane wore pants. It's like, yeah, this doesn't make sense.
The teaser, we got a nice short little teaser. Rebecca is excited that her suggestion box that she started implementing is getting filled up. And she says, you said that very few of our customers would care enough to write suggestions. He goes, no, I said very few of our customers could write. The first suggestion that Sam reads for her is that she should have a happy hour. Rebecca mentions that it's not legal in the state of Massachusetts, should technically be the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And actually, I looked this up. This was part of I think IMDb's trivia, but sorry, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts had actually just outlawed happy hours just a few years prior to when this episode, because they did have it actually when church started. Yeah. The next suggestion is Cheers should serve hot hors d'oeuvres, and Rebecca mentions that it's a conflict of interest with the restaurant upstairs, Melville's. And then she looks for a good one, and she finds a long letter, detailedly written. And she reads the letter, and it gushes about the warm, family-friendly atmosphere at the bar and how the staff is so good, especially the manager, which, you know, of course, gets her full attention. And as she concludes the letter, the only thing that would make Cheers better is if, as she reads, the manager made the naked pretzel with the bartender. And you just see Sam. And I love it because I was expecting to point out that, oh, it's Sam's handwriting and she recognized it or whatever, but she's like, no, you don't even need to make that joke. She just crumples up the letter and throws it at him or something, and it's good.
Yeah, and what's nice is this isn't just a throwaway teaser. This comes back later in the episode, which I thought, oh, this is just going to be the before credit scene, that's it. No, no bearing. But nope, there it is, right?
The idea of the suggestion box.
To get them back in there.
Yeah, the suggestion box, yeah. So once we get into our episode proper after the credits, as you mentioned, Norm, Cliff, and Woody come bounding down the stairs into the bar, humming the theme to the Magnificent Seven, which, as listeners may recall, this is the second time that Cheers has had the guys singing the theme from that movie. The first time they did it was way back in the season 4 in the episode Diane Chambers Day. The whole gang, including Sam and Carla, were singing it to themselves. But there's a great little moment. Norm comes in, he shouts "Magnificent Seven," and Sam is like, "Oh, it's a great movie." And Norm's like, "No, that's my order." And actually, if you catch it, Ted Danson really looks like he's laughing at that line. I don't know if that caught him by surprise or something, or if that's just his acting. But he sounds like that cracked him up. Yeah.
You would think Fraser's sitting at the end of the bar, right? They mention the Magnificent Seven. They're asked, "Hey, do you ever watch any other movie?"
Right.
You would think Fraser would say, "Well, have you tried watching The Seven Samurai? What Seven, you know, Magnificent Seven is based on?"
Yeah,
that just seems like something that he would throw out there.
Yeah, it does seem like something he would throw out. Yeah. But instead, when they're asked, Cliff is like, "Well, we rented The Magnificent Ambersons. We watched a couple of minutes, but when we realized it wasn't a sequel, we turned it off and went back to The Magnificent Seven."
Don't tell Rob.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course not. Yeah. Orson Welles movie, or he's the narrator, I think. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of funny because Woody is sitting at the bar with them. He's like, "This is the first time I've ever sat at the bar." He's like, "What's good here?" And that's when Norm just starts thinking about the glory of living in the Wild West. And Cliff says, "In the past life, he lived in the Old West." And he's like, "As I recall, I handled myself pretty well." And Frasier just does the eye roll. Just like that was like if there was an episode in which Kelsey Grammer didn't have anything important to do, you could at least rely on him to just be watching their conversations, shaking his head, and just kind of like,
yeah, he had some great reaction shots.
Mm-hmm.
Past life, cut to Frasier.
Yeah. And Cliff says that the problem with the world today is that there is no danger. He says there's no opportunity for three independent hombres like ourselves to stare death in the face and conquer on our terms. And yes, a stranger, who we will later find out is named Bob Speaks, and is played by the actor J. Kenneth Campbell, who appeared in the movies Bullworth, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and Collateral Damage. Tons of TV shows like Frasier, Picket Fences, L.A. Law, Ally McBeal. Tons and tons of stuff. J. Kenneth Campbell. But yeah, he's like, how about skydiving? And they ignore him. They don't say anything. And Norm just continues like, you'd think there would be some dangerous, thrilling endeavor we could try. And the stranger's like, why don't you try skydiving? And Cliff, and again, they just ignore him. Cliff's like, yeah, everything's just too darn safe in this world. And by now, the studio audience is picking up on it. And as you said, with the rule of threes, they do it here in a micro sense, because the stranger asks again. He's like, I teach skydiving. I could take you up anytime. And still ignoring him, Woody goes, I got an idea. What about skydiving? and Woody says he's seen the movies, the skydivers, the guy is just floating there in the air. It looks easy. He goes, yeah, he's just floating in the air, but the earth is hurling up at him at 100 miles an hour.
I love when Bob finally said, hey, you know, I could take you up after a quick lesson and all that. And Norm turns around, who the hell are you?
They finally acknowledge it. He gives like this little mini monologue. He's like, he's done it 2,000 times. He's talking about the thrill of falling through space, the freedom and everything. He's like, you'll never feel anything like it. And they just stare at him deadpan. And finally, Norm, with almost a bit of hostility in his tone.
Yeah.
It's like, who the hell are you? He's like, why don't you get it? It's like, you're interrupting, you're harshing our mellow. You know, we're trying to have this moment and you're interfering with reality. And finally, he introduces himself, and Cliff is like, very nice to meet your acquaintance, Bob. Now butt out. He's like, Bob says that he can train them. He can have them jumping by noon tomorrow. And that's where like Carla tells him that these are the biggest cowers in Boston. And she actually calls them cocktail weenies, which is a good dig and appropriate for these guys.
That was good, yeah.
And Carla and Bob, they both kind of tag team pressure the guys. They call their manhood into question. And they agree eagerly to do it. And Sam goes, come on, you guys have had a couple of beers. You'd agree to anything. And Norm's like, damn right we will. So the guys put their hands together like an all for one type of thing, and they raise them and cheer, and Norm kind of howls in pain, and I thought he threw out his shoulder or something. I thought that was going to be the joke, but he's like, no, he got one of his armpit hairs caught in his t-shirt. It's
like, and he's still, as he go to commercial, he's still moving it around trying to get it out.
Yeah, he's trying to adjust. Yeah. Oh, and then, yeah, we cut it. They are in the plane now. Up there, we get a establishing shot of a plane shot from the distance, just like kind of like B-roll footage. And then we're actually inside the back of the cabin and everything like that, and the set. And they watch a guy, some nameless extra, jump out of the plane. And they're talking about that, and Bob is like, okay, who's next? And Woody's like, who's he talking to? And we see by the look, the guys are obviously terrified. They can't even move. They can't even look at the door. And Woody's like, I don't want to sound like not manly or anything, but this doesn't seem as fun as it did last night.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Cliff is like, Woody has spoiled the whole mood. He's like, let's just call this off. And Norm agrees. And Bob is like, you really want to call us off? You don't want to jump? And they're like, oh, no. But they're like, you don't think any less of us, do you? And he's like, no, you know, don't be silly. This happens all the time. Of course, it always has been with the ladies. It's like, you're the first men to chicken out. So. And but they're like, yeah, we're trailblazers. They look on the bright side of that.
Yeah, you got to make up for it somehow. Right. Yeah, we'll make ourselves feel good this way.
Right. they plan to lie to the gang of cheerers about jumping, but Woody objects to that. He doesn't want to lie. He can't lie. And Cliff is like, who's going to know? It's just, I love this line. This was almost my home run. This caught me off guard because I didn't remember this. But Cliff goes, who's going to know? It's just us and the guy who jumped before us, and he's probably dead by now. I love that line. I love that. So they convince Woody that, or Norman Cliff convince Woody that, you know, male bonding includes lying and chickening out together, that this is part of him being with their group. So they agree that they have to make the story very simple, so simple that it's easy to pass the lie. Norm's like, we jumped, the chutes opened, and we landed. Perfect story. Woody's like, okay, what order? And then, back at Cheers, Norm is repeating the lie for Sam and Carla. We jumped, the chutes open, and we landed. He's like, it's all very, very simple. And Cliff comes out of the pool room, trailing a group of guys listening to his every word, as he is embellishing, talking about impressing the pilot and the instructor with his, you know, double backwards somersault or something.
And landing right on the X.
Yeah, of course. And like, even the pilot had never seen something like that. And Norm is just fuming. He's like, you stupid idiot. You jumping jerk, as the title would apply. He's like, why are you doing this? Sam is like, what did it feel like? And Cliff is like, I imagine it's a lot like sex. And everybody looks at him. He's like, not that I have to imagine what sex is like. He's like, I've had plenty of sex.
That was almost my home run.
Yeah, he's like, I've had plenty of sex and plenty of this, too. Why don't you just get off my back? He starts freaking out. Carla does not believe they jumped. And credit to the wardrobe department, Carla is wearing this awesome, like, bowling shirt in the scene. And it says the Florentine Room, and it looks like a cocktail bar or something like that. And I tried to read the name that was on the breast of her shirt, but it's just, like, three initials or something, so I couldn't tell what it was. But it's a really fun kind of teal and black, like, teal and black shirt. Anyway, she thinks that they chickened out. She doesn't believe. She said Norm went home curled up with his wife, and Cliff curled up under the sheets with a flashlight and Barbie doll. and she asks Woody, and she kind of corners Woody. She's like, Woody, who has never told a little white lie in his life, because if he does, he knows that he would go straight to H-E double hockey sticks, which is something we used to say in my house, and we must have got it from this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the phrasing of hell instead of H-E double hockey sticks.
Yeah, that's something that my fourth grade teacher would say in class. He was an older gentleman, actually the grandfather of one of my friends.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And that's how he would put it, but that was many years before this. So
wow, okay. So somebody said it, yeah. But just like a little kid, she kind of picks him up and sits him on the bar. And asks if he and his playmates jumped out of a plane. And Woody's he's like, well, we went up in the plane, I remember, because I was there. Like, he has to establish a truth, a kernel of truth for himself in order to do this. And she pressures him to answer. He's like, yes, we jumped out of the plane. The chutes opened. We landed. It was all very simple and believable.
And just the way he delivers that, it's a kindergartner book report. It's like, it was all very simple and believable.
It's the most suspicious thing ever. Yeah. The most suspicious thing, calling to question how believable your answer is.
Yes.
So good. And then, of course, she keeps making him flinch. She keeps saying, she, like, turns her back and then, like, right back. She's like, did you jump? He's like, yes. And she's like, did you jump your ass? And then she turns and she doesn't even say it. She just flinches back and he's like, yes, yes. So Sam asks them if they would take him out tomorrow to jump, and they're like, and Cliff is like, tomorrow? And he's like, is that okay with you, Norm? And Cliff's voice gets really high. It's like, and like Sam is like, this is a good idea. Woody, what do you say? And Woody's like, we did okay, we jumped. What do you want from me? Like, so Woody pulls the other two aside into the hallway by the bathrooms, and he says that he has to go. He has to do the jump so that he won't be a liar, because if he does a jump, then he can say honestly that he did it, and it'll absolve him. And they're like, and of course, they're just thinking about themselves. Like, well, are you going to cover our lie? He's like, well, if they ask me directly, So then Norm and Cliff kind of convince each other, like, well, if we give it another shot, if we go up there again, maybe this time we'll have the courage to do it. So they agree to take Sammy out, and they're all going to do it again. And now we cut back to the second time they're all up in the plane, this time with Sammy. And they tell him to go ahead, and he's like, I thought one of you would go first to show me how it's done. They're like, no, no, no. Yeah, Cliff tells Norm to do it, and Norm's like, well, if you recall, Cliff, I jumped first the last time. So you'd think that Woody, of course, being the one who was, like, so concerned about his conscience, they're like, Woody, you go. He's like, make me. He's
like, and you don't hear Woody confrontational that much. So this is, you know, showing you just how far off he was.
Right, right. So Norm says this arguing has ruined the mood and they should just go home. And Sammy catches on. He knows exactly what's going on. He's like, you guys chickened out. And he confronts him. He's like, Cliff, tell me the truth. And Cliff's like, no, we didn't, John. He's like, even as Cliff is laughing about it, he's like, no, we didn't. We were cops. So, and that's when you kind of mentioned before, that, like, Sam has this great moment. He's like, well, I'm not going to miss. You don't often get a second chance in life. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he tells them this story about how he was at the end of his baseball career. He was pitching at, they were playing at Tiger Stadium. He had been drinking heavily at this time, and this was a big game that he wanted to show the coach that he still had it in him, he could still play. So he decided not to drink that whole day. And then when the call came in, he's in the bullpen, he chickened out, and he said he couldn't pitch because his arm hurt, and he was too afraid to go out there. He was too afraid of the pressure of everybody watching him and doing it sober, and he slunk back to the locker room. And he's like, I can't let that happen again. I'm not going to miss out on the second chance at glory. So he gets to the doorway, and Bob gives him the coaching, and he goes, 1, 2, okay, here's our story. And he goes back to the guys, and it's like the perfect setup of that whole thing, like about you're not going to chicken out, you're going to chase your dreams and everything. And he gets to the doorway, he's like, nope, forget everything I just said. It's the setup and the punch
and
for that.
The one thing I like this time and the third time they go up is when Sam takes his helmet off with his goggles on, he fixes his hair.
It's
just a little thing, yep. But you know, helmet off, yep. Wash off the hair, goggles, helmet back on.
Yeah. So as they're back in the bar, you know, telling their story and everything of how they jumped together and actually held hands in a clover formation. he refers to them as the June Taylor Dancers. And this is like Frasier's only real moment and everything. He's like, he thought that they had advanced beyond the point where a real man has to prove his worth by facing danger. He's like, a real man is someone who makes gobs and gobs of money, like me. And he kind of smugly walks away from them.
His exit line is terrific because, you know, he has to leave his, see you, sisters.
See you, sisters. Calling back to the June Taylor Dancers, which they will again, too. Yeah. But, Rebecca, and yeah, here's where the suggestion box comes back. Rebecca asks them to jump again, this time holding a big banner that says cheers, because, and they could get a cameraman to film it, because as one of the suggestions was, nobody knows about the bar, they need to do more advertising, more publicity, and this would be a great way to get attention for the bar. And Norm is like, you're talking about ruining a pure sport or tainting it for commercial gain. And Rebecca's like, I think it could have tremendous impact. He's like, yes, so could I. And Sammy kind of has his back to Rebecca in the moment, and she says that she might give in to temptation, and this perks Sam up. He spins around. He's like, what are you talking about? And she wishes that she could give in to that kind of feeling of freedom and abandonment while making love, and she talks about what a turn-on it is, and this kind of macho bravado would be just too much for her to resist. And Sam is like, can I talk to the June Taylor Dancers in private? And, of course, he is able to convince them, because we then cut back into the plane for the third time. And I love it. Bob is coaching them. And this time, so every time they go up, they have another person. Before they had Sam, now they have this cameraman named Otto. And this time, Bob is saying, this time when you jump out of the plane, he's like, and he says, you count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, and they cut him off. Stops, like, wait, let's make it a shorter state, like Maine. 1 Maine, 2 Maine, 3 Maine. And Bob says, like, if they're too afraid to do it, he can arrange for a stunt crew to do it for them. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then Norm is like, you know, they would have to pay for Bob, the pilot, the plane, Otto, the cameraman, and a whole stunt crew and their equipment. He's like, that's got to be like $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. And they're like, yeah, yeah, at least. He's like, yeah, I'm comfortable with that. We can do that. I wrote down that Otto, the cameraman, played by a guy named Thomas Sanders, this is his only credit on IMDb, this episode. I'm wondering if he wasn't actually like a real camera operator or technician in the Cheers crew or something like that, that they just put in this part or something like that. Because, I mean, he has a speaking line, so he has a credit. He's not just an extra. But, yeah, the fact that this was his only credit, I'm assuming he wasn't a real actor or wasn't a professional TV or film actor, but maybe he was, you know, a technician, like a real camera operator or somebody.
Well, he did a good job, so yeah. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. But anyway, at this point, they're ready to back out and actually cough up the money to pay for the line. And Woody shouts, "To heck in a handcart!" And he stands up. He's like, "I can't eat. I can't sleep. I was embarrassed to talk to my mom on the phone the other day." And he goes to the door, and he makes the jump. And they're like, "Oh, my God, he did it." And Sam goes to the door and shouts, "Hey, Woody, is it scary?" He's like, as if Woody could hear him and answer. So Sam, doing it for Rebecca, he makes the jump, and then Norm is quick to follow. He's like, if he does this, it proves that he actually made something of his life, that he's not worthless, and that gives him permission to sit on the bar stool for the rest of his life. So Norm makes the jump too, right after Sam, and then Cliff starts inching his way to the door, but he can't do it himself, and he's asking Bob, "Push me, shove me, kick me like a dog," and Bob is like, "I can't do that, that's illegal." And then the engine starts to stall because the plane is going down. Bob says they're running out of gas. They're going to crash. And Cliff is like, "Not with me aboard." And Cliff doesn't so much jump as just kind of stumbles out the door clumsily. And at that point, the engines start to turn and rev again and start to grow. And Bob takes his helmet off. He tells the engine, he's like, "Yeah, you can land anytime." He's like, that works every time. They just faked the stalled engine to get him out. Back at the bar, they're watching the footage that Norm and Sam actually connected in mid-flight, which I don't know if they physically could, given how long apart they jumped. But they're holding up the banner with Cheers, and the cameraman got it, and it's on the news. Everybody's really, really excited. Woody's like, "This is the greatest I've ever felt. I'm thinking of doing something crazy." And Sam, staring past Woody at Rebecca, he's like, "Me too, I'm thinking about having sex." And Woody just like, "Sam, I think we're taking this male bonding thing a little too far."
So, oh, and Woody's follow-up to this, because Sam says, "Not with me, Woody, with Rebecca." "Now you're talking," he starts to go out.
He starts to walk around towards Rebecca, and Sam like grabs him by the arm and like kind of spins him around using his own momentum to just reverse his direction. And then Sam starts to talk to Rebecca, and she admits that she's all tingly and turned on by the skydiving, and she agrees with Sam that she can only enhance that feeling by going out with a skydiver. Boom, the door opens and Bob comes in. He's ready for their date. And Sam pulls her, he's like, "But Bob didn't jump out of the plane." And Rebecca puts the cap around. She's like, "Bob didn't blow chow at 5,000 feet.
And they have that on video.
and Sam kind of sheepishly covers his mouth and turns away and walks away as Rebecca leaves for her date. And the rest of the guys start singing the Magnificent Seven theme again. Yeah, really a fun little episode. Like I said, I remember this just because of the situation was so extreme that I remember watching this the first time being like, are they ever going to do it? Are they ever actually going to jump? And I looked up on IMDb trivia. It's a little known fact, as Cliff would say. It is not legal for beginners to free fall, which is jumping from the airplane without the ripcord line being attached to the airplane. Beginners can't jump on that. In fact, actually, most people have to complete dozens of attached line jumps before being allowed to do their first free fall.
Makes sense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Of course, if you froze up, if there were any kind of complications or anything, yeah. I've been sort of doing a rewatch of Band of Brothers, but yeah, even the paratroopers, like in World War II, all of their ripcords were attached to the line so as they jumped out of the plane. They didn't. They weren't trained to do that, to pull the tag themselves. So.
Yeah, because that you can't risk it in right. that kind of situation with people that aren't super experienced.
Right, right.
So, but speaking of the plane, you know, one thing that I noticed, now remember, I'm a Star Trek guy.
You have to remember I've heard that
my
about
favorite
you.
Movie of all time.
I've heard that about you, yeah.
Now, it's probably due to, like, the jumpsuits being certain sizes and everything, but Woody and Cliff are in yellow jumpsuits.
Yes.
Norm is in blue, and Sam is in red.
They have, like, the kind of the old school...
Kind of reminds you...
Yep.
The original series.
Yep.
But then, Bob, because he's the instructor, he's got on a light blue jumpsuit with bands on the arms and legs, red, blue, yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think, is looking at him in that outfit was, does Wesley Crusher know you stole his uniform? Which is not really, you know, getting right. still you with a lot of confidence in the instructor if you're looking at him like Wesley.
Right. Yeah, now I'm trying to think. I mean, if we're thinking about the hierarchy of cheers, really Sam should have been in the yellow or the gold
right.
as the captain of their group. And honestly, all three of them should have been red shirts. Like maybe Frasier would have been blue if he was up there. He would have been a science officer right. or something.
I could see Woody, you know, being engineer, but that's still red. So.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. oh, good. Yeah. I didn't make that connection, but yeah, thinking about it, yeah, there was something about that. So.
I can't help but make those connections.
that's fine. Actually, where was the Next Generation at this point, at the end of 88?
End of 88? I think they were in season 4, maybe?
Okay.
No, they were in season 2.
Okay.
Because they started in 87, so yeah.
Yeah,
they
okay,
were
yeah,
in,
yeah.
But Wesley has already become an acting ensign by this point.
Okay, all right. Well, cool. Trying to think. For Norm's tab, Norm had 4 beers basically every time they went back to the bar, which was 4 times, which brings him up to 622 for the series. Who was your employee of the week? This one was tough because of like the disbursement of the characters and like everything like this. I really had a tough time picking out an employee of the week for this episode, who was my MVP, but who was yours?
Yeah, it was tough for me too, but I had to give it to Woody.
Okay.
The various moods he goes through, especially, you know, when he's like a little child that Carla picks up and puts on the bar, and the make me line, everything that he's doing, even though he is in the background a lot of times, he just had to get my employee of the week.
Yeah, that's really convincing. Like, he was definitely in my runners up. I was leaning more towards Norm and Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to give it to Norm. Just, and maybe the deciding factor is just that Norm gets my home run. Norm got my favorite line, so I think I'm going to I think I'm going to go with Norm. But that was like this one. It was a really tough call because I actually like I have written down Norm or Cliff or Woody, and then in parentheses maybe Sam. Like it was literally like all of them.
Someone who was in the plane.
Yeah, someone in the plane. Yeah. And my home run, my favorite gag, like there were so many really good, really choice ones, but it was Norm's reaction after Bob is talking about the joy of free falling and flying and like skydiving and everything. Just that pregnant pause and then, who the hell are you?
Yeah, that was one of my runners up, but mine, I had to go with the conversation between Woody and Sam at the end because Woody... As soon as Sam says, you know, having sex with Rebecca, now you're talking. Man. Just his super confidence there. It's like, you really think this is going to happen?
And I love, like, when he first says, when he's like, I'm thinking about doing something crazy, and Sam's like, me too, I'm thinking about having sex. Woody's eyes go kind of wide and, like, a little bit fearful. He's like, all right, this is awkward. How do I tell Sam? He's just like, Sam, I think we're taking this male body too far. Yeah, oh, I love that too, and I love the whole with Carla pinning Woody down and making him flinch. But my runner-up was actually Sam's whole monologue in the plane, like his whole story about the Tiger Stadium thing and how he chickened out. Because, like, you know, like Cheers rarely got dramatic or kind of maudlin, and when it did, it was really kind of memorable. So whenever Sam talks about his old drinking days, there's always a little bit of a tinge of tragedy about it. And then they're very good at flipping it and making it hilarious, which they do in this case, because it gives that whole speech.
It,
and then 2 seconds later, he's like,
"Worked out perfectly."
Yeah, 2 seconds later, he's like, "Nope, I'm out. I can't do it." So, yeah, again, fun episode. I mentioned it almost every episode with this season. Like, there weren't a whole lot of big status quo changes, or there's not like a real strong meta narrative in this season or something going on. It's just a bunch of like very simple, very elegant done in ones, but like they were really, you know, after the whole change up of Rebecca and this new world where we have to reorient the cast and how Sam and the female lead are going to interact and everything, I feel like at this point they've hit their stride and every episode is just really, really fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's they're at the point now where they and the audience know these characters pretty much inside and out. So now you're just seeing this is the wacky thing that happened to Cheers this week.
Yep. Yeah. Any other thoughts about this one before we close it?
No. I had a real good time watching this both, you know, yesterday when I first sat down to watch it and today to take my notes.
Yep.
It wasn't something like, I need to watch this again. No, it's like, oh, great. I get home, I can put this right on.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, again, as always, thank you for being my guest on the show, Gene. And where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, the best place right now is anything to do with the 8TW acting troupe over at Two True Freaks. I am in pretty much most episodes that they have there. And, Ryan, this is exclusive just for your listeners.
Woo!
But coming in the fairly near future, there will be a certain podcast coming back from the grave. I will be having a guest on the Hammer Podcast for the first time in, I don't want to say how many years.
Ooh, wow.
More about that as events warrant.
Nice. I will be interested. I will look for that when it comes out. Huh. Awesome. Until then, thank you for being my guest on this episode, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast, and those of you who support the show by liking and sharing on social media, and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Podcast Network, and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of the Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
There was this night when I was playing in Tiger Stadium towards the end of my career. I'd been on the bottle for a while, and the coach hadn't been using me. But this was going to be a big game, so I decided I wouldn't have a drink all day long. I was dying, but I knew this would be my last chance to prove myself as a major league pitcher. Sure enough, late innings, the call comes down. Send Malone in. I told him that I couldn't play. My arm hurt. I chickened out. I was afraid to go out there. But I turned tail and I slunk back to the locker room. And I've regretted it every day of my life. And I'll tell you something, damn it. I'm not going to let that happen this time. I'm going out there. Okay, Bob, what do I do here? Remember what I told you. Get down to the door, count to three, go. One, two. Okay, here's our story.